Well, Paul also includes purity in that list of characteristics that he tells Titus older women need to train the younger women in order not to revile the word of God. So I just want to talk a little bit about what purity is before we get started. Purity is really similar to holiness, but it really zeroes in on the untainted character that's fitting for a believer in order to have unhindered fellowship with God and others. Our character is rooted in our thoughts and actions, and the two of those really can't be separated. Our thoughts lead to our actions. And Paul is including sexual purity as well as the motives of our hearts in all circumstances. So that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit more. Proverbs 23:7 says, "As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Paul not only wanted to remind the women to be sexually pure for their husbands, but pure in all of their thought life. Freedom from moral stain allows for an undivided devotion to God. I've been reading That Hideous Strength by C.S. Lewis with one of my boys for school, and the main character, Jane, goes to visit this Christ-type figure, the director. And while she's visiting with him, it's like this otherworldly experience. And she realizes that she's divided against herself. And there's like three or four different versions of herself that are reacting in different ways to this experience. So the first version is just absorbing everything he has to say and wants to delight in all of it. And the second version is thinking, just kind of like disgusted at herself for coalescing so easily to this. Like, why am I just like absorbed by this? And then the third version is new for her. It's new and moral, and it utters things that she's often heard before, but never connected with reality, like this truth meeting reality. And then the fourth version is like this supreme state of joy. She just sees beauty without vanity, beauty for what it was meant to be. It was meant to be for others. And so I think sometimes in my thought life, I can feel like that, where there's three or four different versions of myself vying for who's going to win out in my thoughts and actions. And kind of like Jane did. But when the Lord opens our eyes to see his ways, it's like when Jane finally connects the truth with the reality. And that's what we need to have in order to have pure hearts that can have unhindered fellowship with God and others. In Psalm 119:9, the psalmist asks one of the most important questions we can ask in light of our need for purification. How can a young man or woman keep his way pure? So essentially he's saying, how do I live a life that keeps me close to God? And in Titus, Paul is prodding us to think about what it means to mirror God's holiness in our everyday lives. So if you think about that verse, how can a young man or woman keep his way pure? Well, stereotypically, when you think of a young man or woman, you think of someone who is thought of as susceptible to youthful lust or prone to folly. So how can that person pursue the pure path? Well, the answer is she must cleanse her way by guarding it according to God's word. Well, in the story, That Hideous Strength, Jane was starting to realize that reality has to be connected to truth, or our lives need to be connected to God's word. So the first thing I need to do before I can before I can keep my path pure is to know which path I'm actually on. So one of the things that's been helpful for me that I learned a few years ago is just to open up a Google Doc and start typing out whatever I'm thinking as it comes. And when those words appear on the screen, they're not always what I think they would be, but they essentially just take on this weight and reality of like, okay, this is actually what I'm thinking. These are my thoughts. And Proverbs 23:7 says, As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So seeing my thoughts plainly on that screen helps me to just step back and see who I am and what path I'm actually on. So instead of dividing the truth from reality, like Jane had been doing, what does it look like to combine them now that I know the reality of my thoughts? Well, I've organized my thoughts, and sometimes I'm going to need to pivot my thoughts onto the pure path. Well, Paul wanted Titus to teach the believers what it means to live our everyday lives from a pure heart. In Philippians 4:8, he says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Well, these words all have very similar qualities, but that first one, true, seems sort of like a litmus test. Is it true? In order to be pure, it must be true. And sometimes when I'm opening up that Google Doc, it might look like I'm just feeling kind of discouraged that I don't see a lot of things happening around my house getting done. Like, my husband's over here going to work and getting this product built, and he's over here doing projects in the house, and I can see the fruit of his labor. I can see that something has gotten fixed, and it's so satisfying. But then I look around my house, and I can think, what am I doing? But also, I mentioned that to a friend at one point, and this is why, you know, it doesn't just stop in that Google Doc. We need our friends we need each other to remind each other of the truth. But a friend reminded me, I may not be building a screened-in porch, but I'm building a home. And building a home has so many facets to it that are invisible. You can't see patience. You can't always see love. You can't see the fruit of these things right away necessarily either. They take time to cultivate and to grow and nourish. And as women, Paul just wants us to remember that what we do in our homes really does matter. And we're building this for eternal purposes, for God's kingdom. So now what? I've reframed my thoughts, and I know it's pure. I know it's true. So how do I keep my thoughts pure? Well, Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." Well, how do we protect our inner selves, our mind, our will, our emotions, from becoming impure or defiled? They're the source of all our thoughts, actions, and directions. A few years ago, I started realizing sometimes it's just hard for me. Like, I can get sucked into the news stories that are like dramatic and seem exciting or something. And you can hear bad news everywhere, but you really have to look for the good things. And so I was listening to this audiobook, and it was one of the first ones where it really just kind of hit me. Like, this is something good happening. It's this book called Save the Storks, and it's this crisis pregnancy ministry. It's a mobile crisis pregnancy ministry, and they go around performing ultrasounds, but they don't just stop there. They help the women in need after they have the baby and providing all the tangible needs and things like that. And it just kind of connected, because at the same time, I felt like I kept hearing all these questions about, like, oh, Christians only want to help protect the baby, not the mother. And I was like, no, nobody's telling you the truth and like the good things that Christians are doing. And so it was just an interesting way to like see that God is moving in so many good ways around us, and we just have to look for it. Like, we're going to hear the bad news coming from everywhere, but really search out those stories that believers around the world are working in ways that God is, God is moving through them in ways all around the world. So let's really seek that out. But so how do I know that I'm on the pure path? Well, Titus 2:14 tells us that Jesus came to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Well, what does it mean to be zealous for good works, and how can I do that? I think, you know, we all have those nights and we think it'll stop with our newborn babies or we don't sleep through the night. But then you get a little older and you have trouble sleeping through the night again for other reasons. So what if I wake up tired and I just don't feel like doing things for my family that day? I've noticed that one of the things that's really helpful for me is just that think about what's one thing I can do? What's one thing that doesn't feel like moving a mountain today? Like, my children are all teenagers now. They can go get their own food, but maybe I can take a minute to cut up some fruit and vegetables and just take it to them while they're doing their schoolwork. Well, once I start that one good work that seems doable, then it's a lot easier to keep going and keep thinking of other good works. And just to have the disposition of, I want good works to happen, even sometimes if we're not doing it. Just being zealous for good works means that we want these good works to happen. We're going to support someone else doing these good works, or we're going to do them ourselves. But in Paul's letter to Titus, he shows God's care for our hearts. He wants us to have pure hearts so that we are unhindered in our fellowship with God and others. And purity just reflects the exclusivity of the covenant relationship with God, which has been sealed by the blood of Christ. So his sinless life established the standard, his cross secures our cleansing, and his indwelling spirit enables conformity. And because Christ is pure, we can be pure in him.